what's going on here. Oh, there you are. All right, there's my thing.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we are discussing the new Star Trek series Picard, available on CBS All Access. We are going to spoil the shit out of it, so you might want to watch it first.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Hi, welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Tim Wick.
How you doing?
And Molly Glover.
It's me, Molly Glover.
And we're doing another remotely recorded episode because we're all under stay-at-home order here in Minnesota, doing the responsible thing to do our part to prevent the spread of COVID-19.
None of us are sick yet.
Hey. And Yay. We're still recording episodes for y'all. This one is about Star Trek Picard.
Dun, 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 dun.
Which Ta-da. Is the second Star Trek show on CBS All Access mm-hmm. after the two seasons they've done of Star Trek Discovery. This one takes place like 20 years after Nemesis, the Star Trek movie. Mm-hmm. So, it's so fun yeah. to come back to this world. I think this is the first Star Trek show to go forward in time since the movies after Voyager.
Yeah. Have either of you watched Discovery yet?
We watched the first season and a few episodes of season two.
Half of yeah. second season. Yeah. We bought the Blu-rays for the second season to finish it off, and we haven't gotten around to it
yet. So much good TV right now, but that's great. I loved it. I really loved season one. So
yeah, and I haven't really seen it yet, but they did a free month of CBS All Access, which is how I got to watch Picard, and mm-hmm. I'm definitely going to go back and try and get through Discovery next.
It's great.
There's some stuff that I feel like we were just getting over in the second season that would make me more interested to come back, yeah. but like we just kind of quit at a lull. But Picard is all about artificial life,
yeah,
and Jean-Luc Picard and
his life after leaving Starfleet.
Because of rage quitting
when they decide they're going to basically just ditch the Romulans and not help them.
It's effectively a 10 episode miniseries,
right? Mm-hmm. Though they are doing more. It's an interesting note about this is that, and obviously we're going to spoil it.
Oh yeah,
for sure. Yeah. But interesting note is that it's going off a combination of the Next Generation timeline that we're all familiar with and the changes that happen in the like Zachary Quinto mm-hmm. as Spock Star Trek movies from like 2009. Cause like the Romulan Empire is shattered by the destruction of their son.
Yeah.
Or whatever. That's all stuff that happened in this other timeline of movies where Benedict Cumberbatch is Khan, you know, and that's mm-hmm. this same timeline, which mm-hmm. is interesting.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that might be a small obstacle to some people enjoying the show or at least getting into it. But I'm not bothered by it at all.
I wasn't either, but I'm not a diehard checker. So I don't have the I personally don't have the deep emotional attachments to Star Trek as sure. a lot of other people do. So I never begrudge anyone who feels like they don't like something, but yeah. I thought this was great. The actress who plays, I think it's Daj and I can't remember the other one, her twin sister, Soji.
Oh yeah.
Basically. Soji and Daj. Her name's Issa Briones. And I didn't realize she was in the first touring, one of the touring companies of Hamilton.
Oh,
and she's been an actress since she was three, and I think that's really obvious because she was so poised and she did such a good job of bringing a lot of humanity to an android character, and because that you meet her right away,
Yeah.
And she's on the run, and all she knows is does she know she needs to find Picard, or does she just stumble across
it? It's so they're like sleeper agents.
Yeah.
They have some subconscious routines to protect them when they're out in the world doing their thing. Mm-hmm. And a part of her subconscious protection seems to be that if she starts to come apart and realize that she is, you know, an artificial life form, mm-hmm. or she's in trouble, is to seek out Jean-Luc Picard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that might be a thing from Data. There's this,
but so that's only one for the first sister we meet, not for Soji.
Well, we don't. It may have been for her as well. It just never had a chance.
It never got activated because she doesn't trust. Picard was there
by the time the shit went down.
Yeah.
She does not trust Picard.
Right.
For quite some time.
Not until the huge climax of the final episode yeah. more or less. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting. So Molly hasn't played Mass Effect before. And Tim, I'm assuming you're not familiar with the Mass Effect franchise.
I mean, I've heard of Mass Effect, but other than that, not really.
Just really roughly, the plot of Mass Effect is older than any of the organic life in the galaxy. There is artificial life that are godly, sovereign beings that have fled to the outside edge of the galaxy, or universe rather, and are living outside space and time, waiting for organic life to get to a point where it can create artificial life and reach a big enough, you know, mass where they then come back and clear out all the organic life and add the inorganic life to their collective and then retreat back out into the beyond space and time
until it happens again,
which is startlingly similar to the long plot of Picard. In fact, it is a one ship crew full of your teammates who range from chemical abuse doctors to, you know, diplomats to people of action.
Mm-hmm.
And holy fuck. Like, I'm not accusing anyone that writes Picard of plagiarism, but I love all that stuff in Mass Effect, and I love all that stuff in Picard too. They have a bit of a way of doing like a sort of Lovecraftian science fiction where, you know, the things that lurk beyond space are, you know, AI. Basically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, there's a darkness to this series that, I mean, I think maybe maybe Deep Space Nine got a little darker at times, but I think as Star Trek series go, this is about as dark as Star Trek has been. It's very critical of the Federation and of Starfleet,
mm-hmm. yeah.
who quite frankly make gigantic mistakes. And it's got, you know, this whole idea. The Tal Shiar are an old idea as far mm-hmm. as the Romulans are concerned. Police. But the Vosh, what is this?
The Jat Vosh
are mm-hmm. are like the, you know, the deep state of the Tal Shiar.
Well, and it's the Tal Shiar are. It's like the CIA or something, right? They're like the spies. They're the manipulators. They're
everyone
the
knows police. They exist.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And you might even know people that are in the Tal Shiar. Yeah. But then the Jat Vash are a religious cult of fanatics almost that are not entirely under the Tal Shiar, but certainly seem to have quite a bit of overlap, mm-hmm. you know, within the members of the Jat Vash. Mm-hmm. And their singular mission is to prevent artificial life from reaching a certain point
mm-hmm.
Due to, you know, like a shared memory that's been mind melded through the ages and passed along like a torch. But it seems that the message isn't for them.
Yeah, there was a little bit of Bene Gesserit witchery kind of stuff with that too.
That
felt very like, you know, like I didn't realize before Picard that it's not just Vulcans that can mind meld, but anybody who has been trained, it seems, or maybe that woman was half Vulcan
The Commodore O is half Vulcan and half Romulan.
Okay.
Passing as full Vulcan.
Right.
Okay.
So in addition, the Vulcans and Romulans are separated by a couple thousand years of evolution. But not a ton. Part of when the Romulans split from them, they wandered through space before finding their own planet and their own place. So presumably they found this stuff, this AI warnings in the whatever a cluster of eight stars is. I forgot.
One of the synths figures out how to do mind melding. But because they are a synthetic, it seems more possible that they could figure that out.
I don't think they ever made that super clear.
Yeah, they just kind of did it. And I was always like, oh
shit.
I guess we can just do that.
Yeah.
Like, I will say, I really liked that character, obviously Dash and Soji. But I really liked, I think my favorite character / actor in this whole thing was Captain Rios, the guy who played all the different hologram versions of himself. Actor, his name is Santiago Cabrera, and that was just amazing. Any scene, anytime that someone was talking to him and you'd be like, it's a hologram, isn't it? And then it was like, are they all holograms? And it was really cool. Man,
like, even when they showed the captain leaving the ship, I still wasn't convinced that he also wasn't a hologram.
Yeah.
Because in Voyager, the EMH, the doctor, has a little remote holo projector that he can take with him to go places, to a solid light projector.
Yes,
so eventually I think he gets to the point where he can clip the projector on himself to be somewhat autonomous as long as he's within range of the Voyager. I thought that's what might have been going on with him. I don't think it is, but it still could be, I guess.
I really liked that. And I think he brought a lot of because like you're making a good point, Tim, that this was a really dark story for a lot of things. And I think he brought a lot of good whimsy without it being like silliness. It wasn't like, you know, sometimes in sci-fi they'll be like, and then there's a creature or a robot and it's always like making jokes or it's got a catchphrase and everyone's like, shut up, Rudy, you know, or whatever. But like, yeah, Rudy
shut
too.
Up, Rudy.
It's like, ah, it's not that. It's just, but it is still very like silly at times. And like, you know, do you have a hospitality emergency? And it's like, no, shut up, go away. And it's like, do you have a real emergency? It's like, no, just get, you know, like it was good. I liked it a lot.
There's another organization or order of the Romulans that I think they show for the first time in Picard.
I don't remember seeing it in any other Star Trek, but I haven't seen all of it.
I think it's the Kuat Milat.
The
nuns, the battle.
All female battle nuns.
Yeah. It's like a monastery of Romulan nuns who, very contrary to the rest of Romulan nature, they are fully truthful.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Because the Romulans are very deceitful. They keep a lot of secrets. They're a society of secrets. Group is exactly the opposite.
Very, very assertive in a way that makes everyone around them quite uncomfortable, which I can only imagine how uncomfortable that would then make Romulans on top of that, right? Like, they were open enough to make the human folks around them uncomfortable. The Romulans around them must think that they're like religious zealots, right?
But like, that's what's great about that is like, I can see a religion starting, like a zealotry, a sect starting around that. If it's like, oh, society is always this way, and therefore we must be other, like we must be sure. this way to show our devotion. Like yeah. we have to, yeah, it's similar to like, you know, different sects of Amish and other religions where it's like, we are removed from modern society. Right. We don't use zippers. We don't drive cars. We don't use sure. electricity because that's how we know we're better. You know, I thought that was so genius that they were, it was like they're, and of course I am a blunt person who doesn't always know when to lie. So I was very like, ooh.
You're like, if I'm going to join a religious sect, it's going to be that one.
One of the things I've always liked the most about Star Trek are the depth of the alien cultures, right? Mm-hmm. It's like Next Generation and all the Klingon politics with Picard and with Worf. That was super enjoyable. Some of my favorite Star Trek. And one of the things I like the most about Picard so far is how much we're learning about Romulan culture, Romulan mythology, the whole thing where they have a public name and then a private name. Mm-hmm. And then a name you would only ever tell the person that you love the most, that you would keep to yourself as your Bonds own private Mage. Name. Right. Yeah. The Bonds Mage is in Locke Lamora books, Gentleman Bastards, or any sort of like magic system where you would have a true name mm-hmm. that has power over you, like the Dresden Files. Mm-hmm. But without all the magic stuff. So it's just strictly cultural. I really like that a lot.
Yeah, I'm a little behind on my Star Trek. I never really watched, Enterprise? I didn't really watch that series very much at all.
You don't have Faith of the Heart, Tim? You don't?
And I did not, I haven't seen Discovery yet. But I do think that this series probably dives deeper into Romulan culture than any series before that.
All the Borg stuff is really important for this. Like if you're like, what should I watch to be like ready for Picard? I would say all of the stuff that involves Jean-Luc Picard becoming a part of the Borg.
All the Borg stuff from Voyager.
Yeah. All the stuff with Seven of Nine for sure. Cause she's in Picard.
It's like, I knew they were going to have Seven mm-hmm. from the trailers and stuff. I was so surprised that they had Hugh. What a great character.
That was great. I was so happy to see that. And they brought him back in a way that made a lot of sense. Yes, it's the same actor.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and they brought him back in a way that made a lot of sense for mm-hmm. that character. It's like, this is the kind of thing that you can see Hugh doing.
Well, and also it's for Picard, he feels like these are the consequences of his choices. He is now being like faced with the consequences of things he's done. And he left Hugh with those battle nuns. And he said,
is that not Elmar?
That's Elmar. Which one's Borg? Hugh? Oh, right.
That they rescue in,
I was thinking of the one that he left with.
No.
Yeah, no, they rescue the one, right. Because when they find Seven, she's, there's all these ex-Borg.
Hugh is, XBs.
XBs,
Hugh is the one that's kind of leading that rehabilitation program that.
The reclamation project on the artifact.
Yeah.
What's her name? Soji?
Soji
is like the dude she's reporting to.
Yeah,
that isn't a Romulan is Hugh.
Okay, right, because the Romulan one is the guy that was in
Man, there's some really great like PTSD stuff with Picard when he steps foot on that cube. And one of the things that like really seemed to like fuck him up, and I really enjoyed from an audience perspective, was there's two times I think when. An XB, an ex-Borg that's on the cube being, you know, brought back into not being a part of the collective, I think. As Picard is walking by, you see a Borg do a double take and go, Locutus?
Yeah. Right.
And you don't know if it's real or if it really happened or not from Picard's perspective. But if it did happen, like... either way, man, that really fucked him up. And it was a chance for Patrick Stewart to really stretch those acting muscles.
Yeah.
The whole show, really.
They do some good stuff when they've got Seven of Nine on earlier in the series. You know, Seven of Nine and Picard have never met canonically. And yet there is this connection between the two of them because the two of them have both been part of the collective, and the knowledge that they share this history together and are constantly sort of fighting with that, the fact that they are still, there's still that pull of the Borg somehow that they have to live with.
Well, Seven reconnects herself
to
that mini hive at one point, and I was surprised by like how quickly she was able to get over that when she was deconnected from the whole thing and all that, even though she watched and felt all those Borg swept out into the vacuum by the Romulans. I'm surprised that there weren't, I mean, it was kind of an action-y sequence and they might not have had time to deal with the consequences of that for her.
She's super tough. That's her whole thing, right? It's like nothing gets to her. She's tough. And so maybe there'll be consequences.
Well, and you know, the series, she's part of the new series. She's part of the cast, at least moving forward into, you know, I mean, you never know which cast members they might choose to kill off at some point, but she's clearly, and they've greenlit two more seasons whenever they can actually, you know, film them. But she's going to be in there. So it's possible that we're going to see more of how that ties into it. But on the other hand, we also know that, I mean, the Romulan, the sister of the Romulan lover dude.
Narek is the dude, but I don't know his sister's name.
His sister. She's, you know, Seven takes her down in a very personal way for Seven.
Yeah.
And I think that is a little bit of it, is that again, Seven is taking revenge for all of those deaths.
Yeah.
That
guy, Narek, you said?
Narek, yeah. Narek?
Yeah. Great character, great fun, you know, good guy, bad guy, manipulator.
Yeah.
He's
not dead.
Him. No, he's on the ship in the end, isn't he?
No, he's not on the ship, but he's not dead. We don't see what happens to him. That's one of those things I was like, what happened to that guy?
Mm-hmm.
So the crew at the end is Picard, Seven of Nine, Elnor, the Romulan boy nun, Allison Pill, the doctor.
Yep.
The doctor who's the specialist in AI, basically.
Or Allison Pill's the actress.
She's the actress.
Yeah, Agnes.
Yeah.
It's
an A. Agnes.
Yeah.
Jurati. And
Rafi.
Yep. She's the hard baked, like she had a substance abuse problem.
Still does.
She just wants her kids back, but she's not going to get them back or whatever.
Then Rios, the captain, is six.
Mm-hmm.
That's how many there were.
And they kind of show Rafi and Seven of Nine having some physical intimacy as they go over the crew to kind of be like, here's our establishing shot of the crew going forward.
Well, and what's nice about that is that makes sense to me, because when you said, you know, oh, I don't know, when Seven of Nine, you know, reconnects with everything and to the hive and then deconnects. And it's like, I have a feeling that she and Rafi have a lot in common when it comes to how it feels to have that much power. And then got, like, it's almost like a drug, right? Like there's that substance abuse kind of aspect of it, and like having a different life now and trying to make you're better than who you were when you were on it. Right.
She's not who thing she was. That is bad for you.
Exactly. Yeah. And also, I mean, like when you were a Borg, you didn't do good things. Right. So when you were on drugs, you didn't do good things. And now you got to try to make pence for that. I don't know. It's cool.
And I think, I mean, all of these characters in this show, one of the things that they're doing is these are broken people, right? I mean, even Picard at this point is kind of a broken person because of what happened with Starfleet, and because of all those, all that baggage that's happened since he left Starfleet. And again, that allows an opportunity to go some different directions with how they take the series moving forward. I'm not sure if they're going to move to a more episodic kind of Star Trek storytelling. I mean, they've done arcs before, but they've never done an arc where it's like, it was a 10 episode arc. The entire story was the Synth Rebellion and the Romulan Jad Vash trying to
I hope they keep it this way.
I think they will, because this is how TV is now. This is a much more modern take on television, is to do these, you know, 10 to 13 episode hour long, or, you know, maybe 20 something if it's half hour, and have the whole thing be building to something in a season, because people will eventually be binging it, and they know that now. And so they, television's being approached as more of a like long form movie than ever before. So I can't imagine that they would go to like TNG style, where it's like, we got 22 minutes to tell a fun story that'll keep them coming back next week. Like, yeah.
It's definitely different than they've been telling stories in any of the other like Next Generation era shows that they've done. It's definitely more modern television storytelling. It's very different. It's not, you know, like a 26 episode hour long episode season, right? Real tight and sticking to it. I would prefer that they kept it that way personally.
Yeah.
I mean, it does still feel like Star Trek. It's absolutely still Star Trek.
Oh, we haven't even talked about the fact that Picard dies at the end.
Yeah, that's true.
Like legit. I mean, that at one point in the end of the show, there are two Picards, though they never show them at the same time. We see the Picard in the simulation saying goodbye to Data, you know, it's the copy of Data who wants to be unplugged at the end. But hypothetically, when they make that copy of Picard, there are two and the organic one dies.
Yeah.
And now we're left with
the AI version.
He is
the
android. Picard is a
positronic.
He's now an android. Yeah.
He's got a positronic brain. He's crazy.
A synthetic being, which is super interesting. And there's a lot of great stuff, like a lot of good cameos and stuff like that. It's I really enjoyed it. I look forward to the next season.
I'm looking forward to more, and I'm looking forward to maybe going back and watching some choice episodes of Next Generation and Voyager to like fill in some gaps and refresh my memory on some of the stuff that happened in Picard.
Riker and Crusher's kid is great.
Oh yeah.
Like she's super great and just kind of like very down to earth.
Riker and Crusher.
Crusher's the one that was at Picard.
Beverly.
It's get complicated. Get them all mixed up.
Yeah, that I was glad to see them back. Yeah. I'll be glad to see maybe some more faces come back too.
Yeah.
We're gonna move on to five questions.
Yeah, five questions.
Molly?
We have five questions from our new Patreon supporter, Colin Engstrom.
Oh, yay. Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
New. Colin says, longtime fan of you guys, been listening to the podcast for about 2 years now. Here's my five questions, and I will let you know. Colin also answered the questions along with him. Right. So,
well, that's good. You should read his answers, because we didn't run over the questions before we started.
Question one. If you had to learn another language, would you learn French, German, Portuguese, or Mandarin? And why? Mine would be German, as most of my family took that as their second language, and my wife has family in Germany, and she lived there, and one day we would like to visit.
What were the options again?
French, German, Portuguese, or Mandarin?
Jesus. German.
You go with German?
Well, yeah. I mean, on that list, I think I'd pick German because that would be countries where I could see myself retiring or living, is like, you know, Holland and then slightly east, like Belgium, Germany.
Sure. I think I'd go with Portuguese just because I speak Spanish and it's so close that I feel like I should understand Portuguese, but I don't. And so that's troublesome. Like you don't want to, because like, oh, I know what they're saying. It's like, no, you don't. You do not speak Portuguese. So that, and there's a bunch of countries, you know, Brazil and Portugal, and I, you know,
got both of them.
You know what? I would enjoy it. You shut up. Brazil's so big, it's like a bunch of countries.
I think I'd probably want to learn Mandarin. Because I would very much be interested in going to China, but it would be a lot easier if I could speak one of the languages they speak.
Oh, for
there.
Sure. For sure.
So yeah, that'd be my call.
Question two. Would you rather play a board game you hate with people you like playing games with, or play a board game you love with people you don't like playing games with? And please note, I don't mean people you dislike, just people you don't like playing games with. I run into this from time to time. I have some friends and family who I like to spend time with, but when we play a game together, it makes me hate the whole experience, is what Colin says. I would rather play a board game I hate with people I like playing games with. Always. Because, like, I make my own fun.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm in the same boat.
Yeah, but I've played games I love with people that I don't enjoy playing games with for whatever reason. Not because they're bad people, but because their gaming behavior does not jive with my gaming behavior. Yeah. I'm really bad at people who pout when games don't go their way. That does not work for me. So if you're going to start acting really crabby and throwing your cards, like, whatever, it doesn't matter, I can't win, like, I am done. So
I make decisions in games really fast, right or wrong. And so being in a game with somebody who spends, you know, like 20 minutes pondering the next move just drives me insane. And I may like them as a person, but I can't handle that.
Yep.
Analysis paralysis.
Yep. Yeah.
Really annoying, for sure.
What do you think?
I'm with you too. I think that people can make their own fun. I think it's like watching a shitty movie. You can watch, we went and saw Cats as a midnight movie, and it was terrible.
There were no buttholes.
It was an endurance test.
Zero buttholes.
But it was an endurance test that we were able to have fun with because we saw it with some friends, and it was a silly experience. Yeah. So it's the same with games.
Yeah.
All right. Question 3. If price is not an object, would you go hybrid or electric vehicle? Colin says, I have no opinion as I have a need for both towing and a large amount of cargo space. So I have a truck and there are very few options in that market.
Yeah.
If money's no object, I'd get electric because then you could, you know, solar panel your roof and put one of the Tesla charge stations in your garage.
I'd go electric too. I have no need for towing. And if I did, I'd rent something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Privilege.
You know, for me, it's hybrid because I've got, right now, I still have one of my kids at home. He really likes doing road trips, so at least once a year we go on a week-long road trip. It's hard to do that in electric.
For sure.
Hybrid is kind of the way to go for me.
Yeah. Plus, you don't want to break down in the middle of a national park area with no access to an electric charger, right? Like, that'd be bad.
Exactly. That's the wrong time.
Yeah. All right. Question 4. If price was not an object, nor was the skill or the artist, and you had to get a tattoo, what would you get and what size? Colin says, I have a friend that did this amazing zombie Kermit the Frog from the opening of the Muppet movie, and he no longer does tattooing. So once I have the money, I will be getting that whole piece on my leg. I have always wanted to get like a chest piece, like right here, basically collarbones piece. And it would probably see, it's hard because, like, I love the Dark Tower, but there's so many Dark Tower tattoos out there. And if I got something, it'd be like guns with roses, which could be misinterpreted. So I don't know what I would get, but probably something with, like, I don't know, stars and planets or something cool, something nerdy and spacey is my guess. But that would be what I had. If I had to get something, that's probably what I'd go with.
One of my favorite comic artists is Phil Noto. He has a kind of nostalgic style. It kind of looks like Polaroid pictures from like the 70s that were incredibly well preserved. He has this series of Marvel comics that look like Avengers characters at a dinner party in the 70s, right? I love his style. Some of my favorite covers are by Phil Noto, and I would love my lower right leg just to be Dr. Doom sleeve,
yeah.
I guess, that would be in his style, that would include, you know, the Fantastic Four being crushed or defeated and you know, maybe like Galactus and Doom with the Infinity Gauntlet and holding the mask. And I think that his style would really translate well, and that's what I would want.
Very cool.
Yeah. I'm not at all interested in getting a tattoo, and I never really have
to, though. That's the question.
But I have to. So,
and it can be anything you want, and it'll be perfect. Whatever it is that you want, it'll be perfect.
I'm going to say on my back, a classic Spider-Man would be pretty cool.
Would he be swinging across my back? That's actually super dope.
Or like scaling your back.
No, swinging. I think okay. swinging.
Like, I think the web would be attached to the nape of your neck and he's like in motion.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
like
exactly. Across. You got yeah. Yeah. That I'd be down with.
Even All right.
though, yeah. Yeah.
That, Next that die laughing be... challenge. There you go. All right, question five. With all of your main picks out of the race and now you're stuck voting for the person that none of you thought would carry the nomination, how can we, one, get people who are disgusted out to vote, and two, help reform the party so this stuff does not keep happening? Colin's answer is, hey, I got nothing. Any idea is a good idea at this point.
One, remind people the down ticket is just as important as the president.
Yep.
And if you yep. and if you want real change, down ticket is more important than the president. And it, even yep. if you're just kind of showing up to vote for the and I mean, there's all sorts of shit there that we can go into about the fact that the president appoints a ridiculous number of people to do a ridiculous number of jobs, mm-hmm. and you want, no matter what you think of the guy that we've got now, you want him making those picks versus Donald Trump, because a lot of those people are going to be way better than the people who are in the jobs right now, even though you don't know who those people are. And that's part of down ticket. But it's also mm-hmm. like you can keep control of the Senate, of the House. We can take the control of the Senate, mm-hmm. and you can stop a lot of the stuff that's going to happen higher up, no matter who that person is.
I have literally nothing good to say about Joe Biden. I plan on voting for him in November, unless hopefully he dies between now and then. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
There's accusations against him that are alarming. There's a really troublesome racist history with him. Mm-hmm. He's a noted homophobe. He confirmed Justice Scalia.
There's an
endless number of reasons to hate Joe Biden.
He challenges people to push-ups contests.
He literally told people like me not to vote for Joe Biden.
Yeah.
I still plan on voting for him, and I feel like if I can hate him and be disgusted by him and have him be my least favorite, mm-hmm. except for maybe Bloomberg choice,
mm-hmm.
I think that other people can get over it. You don't have to be happy about it, and you don't have to do it with a smile, and you don't yeah. have to campaign for Biden. Spend those resources supporting the people that you do like, that are down ticket, that are yeah. local, and that's where you'll make your change. If you want to prevent this from happening again, caucus
yep.
instead of just going to the primaries.
And fight for ranked choice. Tell every Democrat leader you ever can encounter that you want ranked choice voting
primaries. And that we need to reform elections yep. and how they run. Because right now, yep. The way that all the different states vote not at the same time,
mm-hmm.
and there's different weight given to that order and all that yep. is
it's insane.
Pushes everybody towards the middle, and it's not the middle in the United States. It's the right. So
I will also say this, at least Joe Biden is beholden to the Democratic platform, which unequivocally states that women deserve access to abortion care, that gay people have the right to live and marry, that trans people are human beings that deserve rights. Like, that shit's in the platform. He can't go against that without serious backlash from the party. So he probably won't, because he's a lifelong Democrat. So there's that. I know. But the thing is, like, there was none of that with Trump. He's not anything. So, like, it doesn't care. And despite that, their platform is garbage. So there is that, at least to hold to. And I know that's not maybe the best, but at least, like, on paper, they have to behave. Like, that's the best I can do.
You don't have to give Joe Biden your loyalty. You don't have to think he's good. You don't have to say a nice word about him. I don't plan on any of that. I do plan on voting for him, and it doesn't taste good.
Mm-hmm. Yay, five questions.
Jesus Christ. Thanks a lot for that last one.
Ending on a high note.
Yeah, that was great.
So, if you're watching Picard, or if you have been watching Discovery and you want to talk about that, leave us a comment. Let us know what you've been thinking about that on Patreon or Facebook. You can reply to our tweets with these too.
Mm-hmm.
If you have five questions for us that you want us to answer, please send them to 5questions@geekswithoutgod.com. You can include your answers in there too, if you want. Molly, you'll read them as we go.
If you're a Patreon subscriber, please supporter, please say that in the somewhere in the email, preferably in the subject line, because then I'll bump you to the top of the Patreon queue.
Make sure you you get all your proper due respect for being a supporter. And we do really appreciate all our supporters. The Schnazzy headphones that Molly and I are wearing and Tim's wearing too are some of the recording equipment that we've purchased from our patron supporters.
We literally couldn't do this right now if we didn't have this.
Yeah, if we didn't have this stuff.
The show would have stopped.
Or we would have had to endanger ourselves to go out to the public to buy the stuff to do it, I guess. But there might have been a delay, you know, who knows? Yeah. But yeah, so thank you all. You're letting us keep doing these while we're all staying at home. But
stay safe and stay home.
Yeah, be responsible. Make smart choices for the greater good, even if that means voting for Joe Biden. And we'll be back next week with another episode.
Bye.
He named his dog number one. Of course he did.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks.
We're geeks.
We're geeks without God.
We're geeks.
We're geeks.
We're geeks, we're geeks without God.
We're geeks. Geeks without God.
Hey, real quick, what is this thing with this guest again?